Okay, our next speaker is Na Soon, and the title of her presentation is Response of New Potato Cultivars Developed for Low Tuber Reducing Sugars to Nitrogen Management.
Morning, everyone. My name is Na. I'm from the University of Minnesota. As you see in these pictures, there are many ways to cook potatoes, such as frying, baking, and boiling. Today, I'm going to focus on frying, more specifically, French fries. The topic is how the new cultivars developed for low tuber reducing sugars responded to nitrogen management. First, I'm going to give some background information about tuber reducing sugars, such as glucose and fructose, and acrylamide formation. Then it's the method in experimental design, yield glucose, acrylamide results, and conclusions. First, why do we want a low tuber reducing sugars? That's because when you cook potatoes under the high temperature frying process, acrylamide is formed. It is a neurotoxin and potentially a carcinogen for humans. It was firstly discovered in fried potato products in 2002 by a Swedish scientist. Since it's naturally formed when you're cooking them, labeling the concentration of acrylamide on the bags of a commercial fried potato products is not required. However, people are just paying more attention since it's discovered, so lawsuits have been filed in California to require the consumer warnings of how much acrylamide they're exposed to. Acrylamide does not exist in the raw tubers, but in the French fries. The precursors for acrylamide are glucose and asparagine. They're in the raw tubers. After the series of the reactions under the high temperature, these two precursors can cause acrylamide. In potato tubers, asparagine concentration is way much higher than reducing sugar. So under the most circumstances, reducing sugars are the limiting factor for potato. There are many ways to reduce the acrylamide concentration. Lowering the precursors are one of them. In this talk, we're going to focus on cultivar and nitrogen management. Different cultivars just have different levels of reducing sugars. And for nitrogen management, with more nitrogen, we have more asparagine concentration. However, for the reducing sugars, the results are not consistent. And it might be cultivar dependent. One more thing we should know about the potato is that the tuber has two ends. The one connected to the stem, called stem end. The other one is butt end. If you order a French fries in a restaurant, you might see this with one end darker than the other. It's because the stem end has much more reducing sugars, it costs more acrylamide, and it costs a dark color. All the plants were growing on a Harvard loamy soil in Becker, Minnesota. We adopted a randomized complete block design with four reps in 2014 and 2015. We had three frying varieties growing. One is the Russet Burbank. It's a standard cultivar that has been growing in the U.S. for more than 100 years. The other two is Dakota and Easton. These are the two new cultivars. They're growing under 5 and rates from 135 to 404 kilogram per hectare. The field was irrigated, so no water stress. The planting date and the harvesting date was corresponded to the weather, so it was different in 2 years. In 2014, we have 139 days, and in 2015, we have 148 days. After harvest, we storage the potato under 8.3 Celsius degree for 8 months. For the glucose concentration, we collect the tubers and send it to East Grand Forks, and they will analyze the sugar concentration for us with the YSI 2700 industrial sugar analyzer. As for acrylamide, we extract them here in the University of Minnesota and send it to the math lab using the LCMS for the determination. The stats was run in CESS with the mixed model in a repeated measures for storage time. We run ANOVA for the yield glucose and acrylamide. As for now, we have the 2-year data of yield, 1 year of sugar and acrylamide. As you see, all the main effects were significant. Also, there are interactions of cultivar by nitrogen and cultivar by storage for one of the yield data and one the sugar. The yellow highlighted parts will be discussed in next few slides. First is the marketable yield. We define the marketable yields are tubers greater than 113 grams. As you see in the 2014 and 2015 clearly have significant higher marketable yield than 2014. This is probably because of the longer growing season. It was also warmer in 2015. As for the cultivar effect, for over the 2 years, the new cultivar Easton had significantly higher yield than Rosette Burbank, than Dakota Rosette. The nitrogen effect was over all the cultivars. It increased in the quadratic trend with the increasing N rate. As we can see, the optimal nitrogen rate fall into the last N rate, which is 337 and 404 kilogram per hectare. Not only we care about the market yield, we also care about the percentage of tubers greater than 170 grams. That's because the optimal size for commercial processing is between 170 and 283 grams. In 2014, nitrogen effect and cultivar effect, the interaction was not significant, so we analyzed them separately. For cultivar effect, the two new cultivars have more large tubers than Rosette Burbank. As for nitrogen effect, they all increased in a quadratic trend, but the optimal N rate was between the third and the fourth N rate, which is less than the market yield. In 2015, these two new cultivars did not respond to N rate. Rosette Burbank was the only one responded. It increased in the linear trend with the increasing N rate. However, the cultivar effect was significant, was consistent. Easton had more large tubers than the Dakota Rosette than Rosette Burbank. Move to the glucose concentration. As you see, these two new cultivars did not respond to N rate. Rosette Burbank is the only one responded. It decreased in a linear trend with the increasing N rate. For storage time, it was significant on all cultivars. They all decreased in the linear trend, but in a different rate. The Dakota Rosette was decreased slower than the other two. As we can see, even though the N-rate effect and the storage effect were significant, but comparing to the cultivar effect, it's not as much effective as cultivar. Both new cultivars has the significantly lower sugar concentration than Rosette Burbank. So if we want to have lower reducing sugar, the most effective way is to have is the cultivar selection. The last one is the acrylamide concentration. As we expected, both of the new cultivars have a significantly lower acrylamide concentration. They all responded to in nitrogen N rate, increased in the quadratic trend. Same as the sugar, we would say the cultivar selection is the most effective way than nitrogen. Thus, we draw the conclusion that for marketable yield, cultivar and N-rate effect were consistent over the 2 years. Easton had more marketable yield than Rosette Burbank than Dakota Rosette. The marketable yield increased quadratically with the increasing N-rate. As for the tuber size distribution, the cultivar effect was consistent. Easton and the Dakota Rosette, which are the two new cultivars, has much more large tubers than Rosette Burbank. However, the N-rate effect was not consistent over the 2 years. In 2014, all cultivars responded in a quadratically trend. However, in 2015, only Rosette Burbank responded. To have lower reducing sugar and acrylamide concentration, we would recommend the cultivar selection method. Nitrogen management may work in a minor way, but it's cultivar dependent, and you also want to work with the harvesting date and the weather condition. That's all. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Could you repeat the question?
Did you look at the starch content in the stem bud?
Starch concentration?
Yes.
Oh.
Maybe some starch conversion to the glucose during the storage, the 4 months of aging.
Yeah, that might change, but only reducing sugars would contribute to the acrylamide, so that's what we care about. Yeah, so we didn't look at the starch. Any more questions?
Okay, let's thank our speaker one more time.
Thank you.